Once again, we're glad to have each and every one of you present here. We have some visitors. We are glad that you are with us. We have come again once this evening to assemble together and to worship God. And if you have come expecting to hear something about the Super Bowl or watch TV, I'm sorry you're going to be disappointed. I was riding down the road the other day at one of the churches on, I think it's on Linden over here near Carroll High School. And out on the marquee, they had Super Bowl Sunday big screen TV. And so they were inviting everybody to come in Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, and watch television with them, watch the Super Bowl. Well, in spite of what Hakeem Olajuwon said, that's not worship to God, and that's not what we're here for this evening. We're not here to simply watch television. We're here to worship God and study a portion of His Word. We want to talk about faith this evening and the greatness of faith. You know, we use that word from time to time to describe a great many things in this life. Oftentimes, it's an overworked word. You know, someone will help us do something, and we will thank them and say, well, you've been a great help to me. And truly, they may have been. And we'll use it in connection with perhaps the society in which we live and the evil and the great evil that is being committed in the world in which we live. Someone makes a great mistake, or someone is a great person. And I'm sure that if you'll go home tonight and you'll finish watching the Super Bowl, you'll hear the announcer say that word several times concerning athletes or plays or one thing then the other. And it's used to describe someone, something. It's used in the Bible also in several instances. It is called the great salvation over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. This great salvation which has been extended unto us. Jesus Christ, also in Hebrews 4 and 14, is mentioned as being the great high priest. He's also the great shepherd. And many other words in the Bible, such as day and power and God and Savior, all of these sometimes are described in this way with that word before it, this word great. And it just simply means that we're trying to elaborate or relate something that is of enormous size or something of measure or degree or intensity or some circumstances that might have happened to an individual. It's spoken also of in connection with faith in Matthew chapter 15. If you have your New Testaments, turn with me there. Beginning in verse 21 down through verse 28, we find Christ in his encounter with this Canaanite woman. Now, he had been going around from place to place teaching the word of God. He had been working miracles, and this woman apparently had seen the miracles that he had performed. And she wanted him to heal her daughter. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, true, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, a woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. He found within this particular woman a great faith. Faith in him. That she recognized that he was the Son of God, that she was able, or that he was able to heal her daughter. You know, we speak of sometimes of someone or something in this way. And they're great in our sight because of what they are capable of doing. Again, using the illustration of an athlete. Perhaps you were at home this afternoon and were watching television. Some of you may have watched Michael Jordan. And I think most of us would describe him as a great athlete, but he's great because of what he is capable of doing. He's not just a one-dimensional player. He can carry a whole team. He can score and rebound. And he can do many things. And he is described in this way by a lot of people because of what he is capable of doing, what he can achieve. And we use faith in the same way, this way, that it is great in what it is able to achieve. And so that's what we want to talk about this evening. several aspects of what makes faith such a great thing. We want to talk about what it can do and the objects of our faith. And then we finally want to look at an example of an active faith, and that is of Abraham. This subject is one that is very basic and fundamental to us as children of God. But it is one, I'm afraid, that is greatly misunderstood by a lot of us. There is much denominational confusion and error that is taught, each deciding the limits of their own faith and how they obtain that faith. But we simply want to look at what the Word of God has to say. And first of all, we can recognize that faith can be great and should be great within us because of what it is capable of doing, what we can achieve by having faith. And one of those things, as we have pointed out, is that it is able to overcome the world. Faith that we have, and this faith that we ought to have in God, should be great and should be considered great by us because it alone has the capability of overcoming the world in which we live. In 1 John chapter 5, in verses 4 and 5, this is exactly what John is saying to these individuals here, those who are born of God. He says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" How aware we are of each and every day of our life, of the things that can get us down, the things that can seem to overpower us, the temptations that we are faced with from time to time, and it seems like the endless daily activities, the routines that we get in day after day, and they seem to weigh down on us, the discouragements and the disappointments that come in life. These things can wash away at the very foundation of faith in our life. But it is this faith that we must have as a foundation that is able to overcome the world. These problems, these difficulties, these temptations are overcome because of the faith that we have. And they are placed in proper perspective because of the faith that we have in God. Revelation chapter 2 and chapters 3, we find that John is writing to the seven churches in Asia there, and with every one of them, he says certain things to them, and certain things they had to repent of and straighten out, but with every one of them, he concludes by saying, "He that overcometh," that individual that overcomes these problems that they have, "he shall gain an inheritance. He shall have a home in heaven when this life is over." That's basically what he is trying to say to them. They have to overcome the problems that they face. And the things that will cause them to overcome these problems is the faith that they have in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's the same with us today. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of those who had faith in God and all of these faithful individuals and how that they dealt with the difficulties that arose in their life. Often we see only the end results of their faith. You know, we just think about what happened in the end. When you read through Hebrews chapter 11, that's what you see. That's what comes across. All the end result of their faith and how they were triumphant. Sometimes we ought to put ourselves perhaps in the situation that they were in and faced with difficulties day after day, and yet they were faithful unto God. Just put yourself in Noah's position. Here was a man who was trying to preach to the world that God was going to destroy the world with a flood, that he was going to bring such rain upon the earth that everything was going to be washed out, wiped out. Now, this had never happened on the earth before. And here is Noah trying to teach others that this is going to happen. And he did it for 100 years. It wasn't just a short while. This man had faith, and he never gave up. This shows us again the greatness of that. Again, we read of the end result of how faithful Noah was and how he overcame the world and how he was able with himself and his family to be saved. But yet every day he had a struggle. He had faith that would carry him through. We see in the case of Moses also the same thing. We read the end results. how faithful he was to God. But yet every day he had to have that faith to overcome the difficulties and the problems that he faced. Hebrews 11 again, verse 37 through 40, says they were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. They lived in faith. Yet they didn't have the things that we have at our disposal. Yet they still had faith. They did not receive the promise. They were looking forward to the promise of the coming of the Messiah, of the cleansing of their sins in Jesus Christ. We have that promise. Once again, all of these things they had to endure day after day. And yet, this great faith that they had brought them all the way through. Because of that faith, because of what it was capable of doing, then we can classify it as being something that is great. In John 16 and verse 33, we find Christ speaking to his disciples shortly before he was to die. These things, he says, I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good faith. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and he is the only one who has. And the faith that we have in Jesus Christ will allow us also to overcome the world. It is the god of this world, Satan, who would want us to be crushed under his feet, under the burdens of life and the temptations and the discouragements that can come upon us. That's what he wants of us. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has overcome Satan. And so our hope and our faith is in our Lord. Can you think of anything else that can make such a claim as this? That it has overcome the world. You know, you can have all the money in the world, but all the money in the world is not going to solve every problem that you have. You can have fame and power and intelligence. You can have all of these things together, but there are still some things that all of this cannot overcome. But we have the assurance that the great faith that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord, is able to overcome the world and the problems that we have. This is why it is so great. What it is capable of doing, of overcoming the world. The second thing that we have noted on the outline is that it's so great because it is capable of saving you. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, Paul writes to the saints there in Rome, making this statement, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We've been justified by faith. It is by faith then that we can be saved. John 3 and verse 16 says there that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is what we're talking about. This faith, this belief that is in Jesus Christ our Lord is able to save us. But we want to emphasize here it is not faith alone that is able to save us. Now there are many denominations who teach this, that faith is the only thing that you need in order to be saved. But as I think we're going to see in Abraham later on, the example of his life, that it was not just a faith that he had in God, that is a mental asset into saying that God did exist, that saved him. But the kind of faith that saves is the kind of faith that works. That faith in God and in the Word of God, coupled with what God wants us to do, that this is the faith that justifies us. It was the faith that justified Abraham under the old law. And it's the same kind of faith, as we are called children of Abraham, that is going to justify us today. We'll look a little bit into that later on in the lesson. But this faith is great because it is able to save us. And once again, there's not anything that we can say that will do that. Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, has the ability to save our souls from sin. Nothing that man can contrive, nothing that man can come up with is able to do that. It is only through this faith in God. And that's one thing that makes it so great. Another thing we want to point out that makes it great is in the fact that with faith we're able to please God. We're able to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Again, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is God, and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. There in that great chapter of faith, of those individuals that were pleasing in the sight of God, in the very beginning it says this, that without faith you cannot please God. But with faith, you are able to please God. Now, for a person who is spiritually minded, who has not been blinded by the god of this world, by Satan, pleasing God is the most important thing in our life. There's no greater purpose in life for us than that, to be pleasing to our Father who is in heaven. Now, there's a lot of people in the world that don't believe that because they have been blinded by Satan. But for us who are spiritually minded, there's no greater aim in life than to please God. And that's what faith is able to do for us. It is great in this sense that it will allow us to be acceptable and to be pleasing in His sight. As Christians, we have escaped the slavery that sin and Satan has gained over us because of sins that we have committed. We have been bought with a price, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we are now servants of God. And being servants of God, we should always want to do those things that are pleasing unto Him. And the only way we're going to do that is by possessing this faith. It is so essential in our life. And again, that's one of the things that makes it great. Because with it, we please God. With it, we have salvation. With it, we can overcome the world. And none of these things in this world, none of the things in the world that we can think of will accomplish that. That's why faith is so great. We also know that it is great because of the objects that our faith is in, because those objects are great. That is God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Word that has been revealed through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These are the three things that we have faith in. And these are great objects. I don't think any of us will deny that. And we have faith in these great objects of God and Christ and the Word of God. Notice what David had to say in Psalms 18. Several things there in verses 1 through 3. He says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Notice what David had to say. Here's the greatness of his God, the one that he worshipped, the one that he had faith in. He referred to him as his rock, as his strength, as his salvation. He is the one that was able to deliver him, even from the enemies that David could not escape. Notice also in verses 31 through 34. For who is God except the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. He teaches my hand to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of brass. A bronze, excuse me. Then notice what he said in 46 through 49. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. David here is honoring God for the great salvation that had been delivered unto him. He is expressing his faith in God. And certainly God is the great object of our faith, the great object of our worship and our devotion. And when we have faith in something that is great, then that automatically, I believe, makes our faith great. We have faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. John 3 and 16, as we mentioned just a few moments ago, those that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is through Christ that we have salvation. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, John writes, "But as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." He is our great Lord and Savior. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in no other name is there salvation. You can search high and low from one end of the earth to the other, from the beginning of time until the end of time. And there is no other name that has salvation. We can't find salvation in any other except Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. To all those that believe in him, he is this one that will save. So we have faith in this great Christ, and that makes our faith great also. We have faith in the Word of God also, as it is as men have written it, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 4 and verse 4, Christ says there, as he quotes from the Old Testament, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." How great is the Word of God. It brings us salvation. No other message on the face of this earth is able to bring salvation except the pure Word of God as it is taught and as it is understood and obeyed. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, it is by faith that we walk. This is a great thing that is going to lead us in the paths of righteousness. It is the paths of righteousness that will lead us to heaven above. So this faith is great because the objects of the faith are great. In closing, as I said, we want to look at the faith of Abraham. And one of the things we want to notice in this is he is not saved by faith only, but he is an example of the greatness of faith. We are called children of Abraham and made illustration to by Paul in Galatians 3 concerning the faith that he had. We are children of Abraham. Abraham was one of the greatest men that history has told of, one of the greatest men that is in the Bible. Certainly he sinned. He did things that were wrong, but we also do that too. But his life was one of faithfulness unto God. James says in James 2 and verse 23 that he's called a friend of God. In Genesis chapter 15 and verses 1 through 6, we find there of how his faith was tested at one time. He was told that he was going to have a son, that in his old age there was going to be a son that would be born unto him. And that was the son of promise. That was the one that through whom God would bless all the nations of the earth. Now, Abraham had gotten very old by this time, and his wife also. She was past the age of bearing children. But we find that Abraham believed God. Abraham wanted Ishmael, perhaps, to be the one, but God said, "No, he's not the one, that there would still be another one born unto you." And we find his faith was challenged several times in his life. And in Genesis chapter 15 and verses 1 through 6, we find that he had already left his country and left his home. He had moved as God had commanded him to move. He had already been into Egypt because of a famine. He already had received a promise by God that Canaan would be the land that his seed would possess, and of which he had no seed at this particular time. He had already saved Lot. He had already encountered Melchizedek. And now comes a promise to him that he would have countless descendants. They would be as the stars in the heavens and as the sand upon the seashore. And yet he had no children. He was very old. And yet he had faith in God. How do we know Abraham had faith? Was it simply because the Bible said he had faith? Or was it because Abraham said, well, I've got faith in God? Is that the way that we establish the faith that Abraham had? No, it's not. Abraham's faith was established by the things that he did. Those things that he did in his life in accordance to the will of God. The way of faith is identified in examining the actions of people. As we examine the actions and the life of Abraham, we know that he had faith. Many today say they have faith, but they fail to follow through in their life, showing that faith. But there is one thing that is a biblical truth. What Christ had to say in Matthew 7 and verse 20, as he's talking about individuals, by their fruits ye shall know them. That's a biblical principle that has been established by God. And we can know an individual by the things that they do. They may say one thing, but if they do something else, then they're not living according to their words. And if a person says that he has faith, but that faith doesn't do anything in his life, then truly he doesn't have faith. By their fruits ye shall know them. By Abraham's fruits we're going to know whether or not he is faithful unto God. How did Abraham manifest his faith? Again, did he just say that, well, I have faith in God? No, that was not it. He manifested his faith by the things that he did. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4. While he was in Ur of the Chaldees, God called unto him and said, you just get up from there, Abraham, and you go to a place and I'll show you where you need to go later on. And Abraham did that. By faith, he left that place and went to someplace else. Genesis 17 and verses 9 through 26. Once again, there is a son, a promise that is made unto him. And even while he was in his old age, that one would be born to him, and from him would come descendants as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sand on the sea. And finally, in Genesis chapter 22 and verses 1 and 2, we find that he is told there by God to take this son of promise, this only son that had been born unto him, Isaac, and take him out and sacrifice him as a sacrifice unto God. And Abraham did that. He had drawn the knife and was ready to kill his own son there upon the altar when God stopped him. He was showed the faith that he had in God by the things that he did. What he did manifested his faith. And Abraham was justified by his faith in God. That is, he was rendered righteous in God's sight. Was it simply by faith only, as many people want to teach in this world today? No, it was not. Abraham was justified by his faith, and his faith was shown in his works. And this is exactly what James has to say in James 2 and verses 24, or 20 through 24. James there talks about Abraham and the faith that he's shown in the works that he had done. Faith plus works equals salvation. Now, I'm not talking about the works that are found in the world. I'm not talking about the works that are found under the law of Moses. That's what Paul is talking about in the book of Romans. That they were not justified and could not be justified by those works. We cannot be justified by our own works, by the things that we want to do. But justification comes by faith in God, and that faith is manifested in keeping the Word of God in obedience. And therefore, we have salvation. We express our faith today in exactly the same way Abraham did. If we're children of Abraham, that faith causes us to obey. Can a person be saved and not obey God? Absolutely not. There's no way. You cannot be saved apart from obedience unto the will of God. This is one of the things that Paul expressed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, where he speaks of Christ coming again, rendering vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he saying here? These people won't be saved. They have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. Without obedience, we have no hope of salvation. Once we become a child of God, then we continue a faithful life. Abraham did that. Matthew 25 and 21. We find there on the day of judgment, pronounced to that one individual who had done what God said, faithful. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. We're told in Revelation 2 and verse 10 there, to be faithful unto death. The expressions of our faith are a transformed life, as Paul writes about in Romans 12 and 1 and 2. They are good works that we produce in our life. The greatness of faith is seen in Abraham because he was called a friend of God. Another thing concerning the greatness of faith in Abraham is the results that faith brings. And we've pointed these things out. Salvation is ours. We have guidance in this life in which we live because of the faith that we have in God. Again, he says we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Faith in God. And this walk is a way of life. This faith gives us guidance in life. In Psalms 119 and verse 105, the psalmist writes there, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It guides us all our days. The word of God does. And that faith that we have comes from the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. The results of this faith also is that it brings eternal life. Faith in God, faithful unto the end, and we will have eternal life with our Father in heaven. And again, this is what our life here is all about. This is the aim and purpose in life that we have, to please Him and to be with Him throughout all eternity. This is the kind of faith that God is pleased with. This is the greatness of faith. In closing, we would ask, how is your faith? Is it dead? Is it weak? Is it stagnant? Or is it alive and growing? Is it something that guides your life from day to day? Galatians 5 and verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. That's what avails. In Hebrews 10 and 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This is something that is needed. As I said in the beginning, it is so fundamental for everyone who is a child of God, who would be pleasing in the sight of God, but it is a subject that is so misunderstood by people in the world, and even by some who are children of God. Faith is necessary. Faith will cause us to be children of God. But the kind of faith that will cause us to be children of God is the faith that is active. Faith that leads an individual who's outside of the fold of safety to repentance, confession of that faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, will cause them to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Now, we're not saying, again, person saved by works on their own. A person is saved by doing what God says. And that's what faith is that saves. Cause us to be obedient unto the Father in heaven. If you're here this evening, you're subject. An invitation is extended unto you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?